The whole point of this chapter has been, this is the gospel, right? The gospel is, Jesus died and rose again, and you too will raise again if you believe on him. And all the dead, yes, the dead are going to be raised, even the wicked. But the promise of resurrection at the last trump, according to the book of Revelation and here, this is the promise of the resurrection unto eternal life. This is the victory resurrection. It's not for the wicked. It's not for everyone even yet living on the earth. It's only for those who overcome in Christ. He's saying, I show you a mystery. Yeah, mystery is just something that was not previously known, but now is. Because when it's not known, you don't realize it's a mystery, you know, because it's unknown. Now, the people can think of things like puzzles and you know, I mean, things that are like where you have a question. That's not a mystery, like at least not in the biblical sense. A mystery is something that it was hitherto unknown and now has become known. That's the biblical idea of mysterion. Now we think of mystery as like, who done it? You know, that's not the biblical sense. We will not all sleep. What does that mean? It means we're not all going to be dead. Because that is what the analogy of death is, sleep. You know, we will sleep in the dust. If I make my bed, like as the prophet David, I believe, in the Psalms. Well, the psalmist wrote, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Making your bed in hell, meaning the grave, is an analogy of going to sleep. You lay down, you make your bed in hell. Jesus made his bed in hell. God would not suffer. God did not, as it is written in the book of Acts, God did not leave his soul in hell. He would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. So his soul was not left in hell. Jesus Christ's soul went to hell. And God would not suffer it to stay there. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Oh! So that is the disposition of death is sleep. Now, and sleep as opposed to what? As opposed to wake. Now, when you sleep, sometimes you have dreams, but dreaming is not a necessary part of sleep. The fundamental way in which sleep differs from wakefulness is the idea of you are not conscious of what you really are having. You know, a dream is not real. You know what I mean? It's not like you're conscious of what's going on around you, what's really happening. Like, I could be sleeping and dreaming about being at a water park, let's say, but really, there are a bunch of people standing around me with knives ready to stab me to death. Now, I'm not conscious of what's really happening. Okay? So, when you sleep in the dust, if your soul was to have some sort of dream, so to speak, it would not be real. But again, the idea sleep is used as an analogy because the real fundamental difference between sleep and awake is the unconsciousness of being asleep. And as it is written in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, the dead, or in the book of Ecclesiastes, the dead know not anything. And also it is written, in the day they die, their thoughts perish. So there's no thinking in the grave. There is no dreaming in the grave. There is no consciousness in the grave. Death is an unconscious state. And what Paul is saying, there's a mystery here. We're not all going to be dead. We're going to all be changed. What does he mean? Many are already dead. Well, here's the point. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So at the final trump. Now, Paul had a knowledge of prophecy. Even before the book of Revelation maybe was written, but there's seven trumpets there. And the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Savior, Jesus Christ. The signal, every trumpet is a signal. Remember, we read about that earlier in chapter 14. You know, I talked about trumpets have to give a certain sound. You know, that has to make some sort of recognizable signal. So each trumpet has to have a signal. And the seventh trumpet signifies the end. It is the final trumpet. Some people, you know, because of the pre-tribulation rapture, they want to say, well, this is some other trump. Blah, 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 blah. Talk, 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 talk. Well, whatever. I don't bother with them. Those people are heretics. They don't understand. They don't have any business taking up the word. In fact, they would be better off if they never touched it. But God hath created all things for Himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. I take great comfort. Know that, you know, the false ministers who do not repent, God created them to show His wrath. And people despise them, and I try not to despise my enemies, because you never know who God may turn. You know, I would say, you know, I tell you, guys like, you know, the guys who are going down to death are easier to pick on. But then you see some guy coming up and you think, oh, he's a terrible false preacher. You know, and you think, oh, what if it was him that God used? Just like God used Paul. You know, here was this guy as a Pharisee, totally opposed to Christ, and God used him. And God could, you know, what if it was this, you know, what if it was a Catholic bishop, you know, that God chose to use? I mean, how about that? That would be shocking. At least to those who know the truth. No, to the Pharisees, they would say, well, it would, if they could acknowledge that it was God that was moving the Christianity thing, you know, they could have said, well, of course God would choose one of us. But they would never look at him that way. Just like if some bishop defected to the truth, they would consider him a heretic. So it's a twinkling of an eye type, just a really fast, instantaneous thing. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the point is, the dead are going to be raised into that incorruptible body, and those who are alive are going to have an instantaneous resurrection on their feet. They're going to be just changed. Poof. He talked about this in 1 Thessalonians. If you're not familiar with that, just look at my study on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I covered it in great detail. This is a companion chapter to that chapter. The dead rise first, and then we are changed. It's a very...